Hello and welcome to Heart Yoga Radio. Today we thought we'd like to have a little chat about the current political situation here in Britain. There's a lot going on. We're going to be having a general election very soon, which has come as a little bit of a surprise.
Maybe.
But we're hoping this is going to be an opportunity for some positive change. What we're going to talk about today is what is going on literally today, right now, because things are changing pace very, very quickly.
Yeah.
So it's Monday the 24th of April today. So this is this is the up-to-date news today. So if you're listening to this a few weeks down the line, things may be a bit different. So what's going on?
Well, I can't claim to have a complete comprehensive all round on British politics. You know, to be frank, I find the sort of parochial nitty gritty of parochial politics kind of like devastatingly boring. You know, because it's a stupid fucking game.
Yeah.
You know, and played by clever idiots. Okay, maybe I'm insulting some people who've come into politics through different routes. But, you know, I don't have a fucking high opinion of it. And mainly because of the corruption of language surrounding it that has been going on apace since George Orwell drew our attention to it in his famous novel 1984. So, okay, I'm not claiming any kind of comprehensive overview of it, but I have been having a dip in, and
you have been like really paying attention, and
I've been paying a bit of it.
Listening to Jeremy Corbyn's speeches, haven't you? And listening to what the gutter press are going on.
Well, banging on the same old boring lies
that they're going on with.
Well, I know I complain about the internet and, you know, having too much information and the difficulty of distinguishing or of being able to appraise the actual quality of what passes for information on the internet. But the great thing about it, and I know YouTube's taking some flack lately for censorship and so on, and for demonetising. Certain channels which are deemed kind of unsavoury, and some of them are unsavoury in my in my book, you know, and I can't say even though yeah, well, what you can do is you can find out
what somebody actually really said, because they've been recorded, and you can go and watch the actual speech.
You can find out what the Daily Mirror's putting out about it, what the Sun's putting out about it, what the BBC's putting out about it, what Fox News is saying about it, you know, and what Channel 4's saying about it. So you can see, you don't have to kind of sit parasitic upon the mainstream media, but you can kind of like do a bit of quite a quick tour, you know, without too much trouble.
Yeah.
And I've done a little bit of that. It's a bit random. I'm not researching this systematically. But you can also do what I did. Is go and see what Mr. Corbyn himself has got to say. You know, because he's on the campaign trail already, straight away. You know, and I've watched a couple of speeches that he's given. I watched one sort of particularly closely that he gave in Swindon a few days ago.
So what was he saying?
Well, I'll get to that.
Okay.
So you can have a little go at finding out what's going on. Of course, I kind of watched the announcement by the Prime Minister, Mrs. May, of a snap election. Which is going to happen on June the 8th, I believe. Now, the opinion polls are saying that the Tories will get a landslide. They got a 21-point lead the last I heard. I think it might have gone up or down a little bit. And this is kind of it's unprecedented. It's so you can see why Mrs. May wants to call the election. She's hoping to consolidate her position. And bear in mind that Mrs. May is the Prime Minister by default because David Cameron resigned when his Brexit jolly jape didn't turn out the way he thought it was going to.
Yeah.
So he felt constrained to resign. So after all, this is the Prime Minister that announced the referendum. And this was probably for internal political reasons to finally put the fucking Eurosceptic wing of his party to bed. Yeah, and get him to shut up. Because the Tory party's been riven with a pro-Europe, anti-Europe division since the UK joined the fucking EU, you know. Again, which incidentally was a matter of referendum as well. You know, the people were consulted, as it were, on accession to the EU in whenever it was, a long time ago. It's 40 odd years. I remember voting in it. So obviously she needs to legitimate her position, because at the moment she stands as the Prime Minister, responsible for the Brexit negotiations, which are now going ahead. Article 50 has been submitted to the European Union. It's all official. It's unfolding. There's a 2-year period of negotiation, at the end of which, whatever has been negotiated, the UK will no longer be in the EU. And there is a big political debate as to what degree of involvement the government should be negotiating for, whether the UK stays in the single market or in the customs union, and whether the conditions of being in the single market are acceptable. And incidentally, one of the conditions of being in the single market is very likely to be like free movement of people. So if anybody voted for Brexit because they were sick of EU immigration, well, if you know, they might not get what they want. Now, Mrs. May's going for what's called hard Brexit, in which there are no arrangements like single market, belonging to the single market, as Norway does, for instance. I think that's how Norway operates. They're in the single market, they have to accept freedom of movement, but they've got no seat at the negotiating table. They just have to accept European trade directives without having any input into them. Yeah, so Mrs. May wants completely out and starting from scratch and negotiating trade deals on a kind of case by case basis, I suppose. So she's got a bit of a legitimacy crisis, because she's sitting there in number 10, presiding over the most momentous political change in living memory. But she's sitting there in virtue of the votes of the fucking, yeah, the Tory party, you know. In other words, on a very small number of people have put this woman into this position of power. Mm. Since she became Prime Minister kind of mid-term, and hasn't really fought an election in which her leadership is one of the issues. So it makes sense for her politically to kind of strengthen her political hand. And if this 21-point lead and the opinion polls actually means anything, and manifests, which of course it might not.
Yeah, because these things aren't that reliable, are they really?
They're kind of, up till now, been fairly reliable, but I think we're in a bit of a new situation. I mean, Trump shouldn't be in, according to the opinion polls. He didn't even win the fucking popular vote, you know. But there he is, he's sitting there. And you've got to weigh this up. You know, what is the nature of that opinion poll lead? keep hearing, if you listen to the mainstream media, that Mr Corbyn, the leader of the Labour Party, is unelectable. Now, there's something fishy going on there, in my opinion. For a start, Mr Corbyn has won two Labour leadership elections for the Labour Party. Overwhelming, decisive wins. He's presided
on a massive grassroots movement.
Yeah, I mean, on his watch, the Labour Party has grown into the biggest grassroots membership party in Western Europe. You know, so
he hasn't done this through any kind of rabble rousing techniques by simply being.
Well, he's been
actually fucking sensible.
He's been
and giving a shit about people.
Well, yeah, he's been a tireless campaigner, and he's taken a different approach. You know, and to my mind, a refreshing approach that cuts through the Orwellian corruption of language that has dominated politics prior to this. This innovation on Mr Corbyn's part. So he's done that. I mean, the Labour Party's got over 500,000 grassroots members. If they can be mobilised in an election campaign, well,
May might be in for a surprise.
She might be in for a surprise, and the pollsters might be in for a surprise.
God, I hope so.
I mean, this is the age of surprise politics.
Yes, it is.
Trump and Brexit have, delivered a couple of fucking blows.
Yeah.
To the idea that we're in a business as usual situation. And this morning, the second round of the French presidential election has indicated the same. I mean, the two candidates now are going to the final round. Marine Le Pen, an extreme right wing nationalist. And then the other candidate, whose name escapes me, is an independent who's never held office.
Right.
And he actually won by a few percent over Marine Le Pen. I forget what the split is, but it's sort of like 48-52, sort of. You know, he's got a narrow lead over her.
But the two main political parties of France are sort of out of their ear now.
Yeah, the main left and right wing parties were chucked out.
Yeah.
Unceremoniously.
Yeah.
Now, whoever wins this presidential election, of course, whether they can then leverage that position, depending on the composition of the assembly or the parliament, it's going to be interesting. Whatever happens. So, but this is the same surprise politics, you know. The world is a different place.
Yes, it is, yeah.
And I mean, if Marine Le Pen gets in and gets some kind of working government, I mean, her thought is France out of the euro and out of Europe. I mean, that pretty well spells the end of Europe. With Britain gone and France goes, yeah. The EU is pretty well over. Mm. I mean, something will coalesce around the idea of Europe, but. I would imagine, but it won't be recognisable. So this is the context. So I mean, my concern is this kind of Corbyn unelectable mantra. You know, not only has the man built a huge grassroots party, obviously not single-handed, you know, but it is a part of the Corbyn phenomenon. But the policies that he's putting forward are, as policies, extremely popular, and yet the polls are saying that he is unelectable, and big swathes of the parliamentary Labour Party, the old Blairites, are saying the same thing. And then if you listen to the radio, I kind of try and get the news on radio for sometimes in the morning.
You listen to the World Service as well, don't you?
Yeah, not in any systematic or regular way. But it's just this mantra, you know. He's unelectable, he's unelectable, he's unelectable. Apparently the headlines in The Sun this morning are saying that again and again and again, you know. And, well, The Sun is going to say that, aren't they?
Yeah.
Because The Sun, you know, it's owned by bloody Rupert Murdoch. it's a part of a global right-wing corporate media empire. You know, their attempts to brainwash.
Exactly the word on my lips there as well. Yeah.
The mass of people, the great mobile evil garish. Into holding opinions that are favourable to the 1% that own most of the wealth and exert most of the power on the planet. And the sun is an organ of that. You know. And so they're going to go for Corbyn. The BBC is going to go for Corbyn. We keep hearing how objective the BBC are. Well, they sound very nice and posh and reasonable, but if you actually hear them report on something that you've been involved in or know about, you realise that they're just a bunch of fucking hacks. who are defending a privileged position, you know, where that privilege pans out into the matters of, again, of wealth and power, you know, and influence. So I don't trust them. And it seems to me that is why we have this 21%, 21 point lead for Mrs. May. Yeah. I mean, the way Mrs. May channels Margaret Thatcher, I mean, I just find her kind of deeply unattractive.
Yeah.
I suppose her husband likes her and all the rest of it. And I suppose, you know, this, okay, is there anything in this? Is there anything in it? We've got a bloke who was elected to the leadership twice, just to make sure.
The Labour leadership.
Yeah. That's built the biggest mass party in Western Europe in a year or so. Whose policies are extremely popular if you just kind of...
Actually listen to what he's saying.
They are actually popular. If people in focus groups and, I don't know, samples, I don't know how they do this exactly, but if they hear the policies just written down on paper, you know, as bullet points, they like them.
Yeah.
£10 minimum wage. Yeah. Workers' cooperatives being something to be encouraged, which I think is a great idea. That's his best policy. Focus on undoing some of the deleterious effects of gross inequalities of wealth and power. Hopefully having a go at the grip of the corporations on the body politic. I mean, this is all stuff that people understand. And in fact, Mr. Corbyn's putting forward those policies because he's discerned that people are concerned about them. They're concerned about the health service. They're concerned about the idea that society as a whole takes some responsibility for the less fortunate members of that society. And of course all such projects are being cut and cut and cut by the Tories, whatever they say, however they spin the figures. They are ideologically committed to the collectivity, not doing anything about these matters, except through charity, you know, individual charity. So here's this guy. He's got all this going for him, but he's unelectable. So I thought what I'd do is, this is why I saw it on YouTube. Here is the full video of Mr. Corbyn giving a 40-minute speech in Swindon. And, well, okay. I understand, even though I deplore, the fact that certain charisma and attractiveness goes a long way in the real world to people getting elected or finding themselves in positions of
like wearing a tie.
Yeah, they might twist your foot about the fact that one time you didn't wear a tie, you know.
You know, it's so pathetic.
It is utterly, utterly pathetic.
Yeah.
And I don't think that should matter that much, you know. And I suppose when people say, oh, well, he lacks leadership qualities, well, does it mean he hasn't got, like, Tony Blair's charisma, you know? But fucking apparently, if a to the ordinary German people, Hitler had charisma, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, fucking charisma is no argument. Is no argument. But actually, I thought, well, now let's just have a look. What are they on about? Is there something about his oratorial style that's accounting for the 21-point lead of the Tories? Or even in his personality, or has he got a dodgy past? Any all of these things that you think should more influence that, even though that maybe they shouldn't to the extent that they do. So I watched this speech, and it was a fucking good job. I'll go so far as to say it was a brilliant job, because he did a bit of rebel rousing. He did a bit of, you know, the Lucky Jack speech. You know, he's obviously speaking to his activists for the most part. And well, okay, well, morale boosting. These people are going to go out there knocking doors, you know, and they're going to have people swearing in their face on some occasions.
Yeah.
And going on, what about the immigrants, you know, what about the Polish, what about... And all this kind of shit. And he did a bit of morale boosting, which I thought he did very well.
Yeah.
He's very relaxed, he won't wear any tie. Very relaxed. I mean, that kind of... if there is a personal quality that would matter to me, it would be that.
Yeah.
And he's standing...
He's actually being real.
Yeah.
Rather than performing.
Yeah, he don't perform. And then he did a bit where he went over the concerns, people's concerns that he's, that he's took up, and which he kind of thinks, well, these are significant concerns. I'm hearing a lot about this, so we'll have a policy about it. So he's outlined the concerns about the health service, concerns about the care, you know, care of the elderly and the crisis around that. And so on. And he's outlined the concern, appraised its impact and its reality, and come up with a policy where it seems sensible. And he just laid that out in a just kind of logical, fairly quiet, fairly low-key manner. You know, but isn't that what you do with such matters, where you're giving the facts and the figures And the sensible options for overcoming a problem? There he is, the guy there, just doing it. Very logical. Very straightforward. Backed up with facts and figures and solid research. And then he did a bit of rebel rousing. And, the old rhetorical flourish at the end, again, you know, to boost morale and to persuade people. And it was fine. It was masterful. I said it was. This is a man with good political craft, and oratorial skills. You know, but enable him to remain real, authentic, real, a bloke.
Yeah.
you know.
And I find that the this thing that they say about him, where they keep going on this line over and over again, unelectable.
Yeah.
That's the very worst thing that they can say about him.
Yeah, and it's neat because it's one word, and so my, you know, I kind of inhabit some kind of a weird philosophical territory. You know, I'd say, you know, a lot of parochial stuff don't really interest me that much, and. But here I see, you know, a big conundrum playing out, and it is this corruption of language that Orwell spoke about, you know, and this reduction of political life to manipulating the great mass of people, you know, by what seemed to me to be like. Crude but effective mass hypnosis techniques. Just keep saying it, just get everybody to say it. So that it becomes the common sense. This is how you do it. You make it into the common sense just by constant repetition. And if you've got a virtual monopoly on the outlets, well, you know, it will work. It will work. And this is how whole populations have got mobilised in the past to go off onto into catastrophic world wars and so forth. And it's horrid.
Yeah.
But this is the age of surprises. And the thing is, I think the mainstream media, you know, are kind of crapping themselves. Because they are realising that not everybody's getting their information from them anymore, you know.
Yeah.
And their ability to do this hypnotic thing just by the incessant repetition of some kind of buzzwords and phrases is kind of going to get weaker. And okay, they manage it with Trump, you know. Do you notice how he operates? You know, nothing gets above the level of a slogan, but he'll repeat.
Yeah.
He'll say he's going about his new healthcare system that, incidentally, probably won't happen. But you know, that's another matter. And he's got no details. He says, but we'll work something out, and it'll be beautiful. And it will be beautiful. He'll do that. Make America great again. America will be great again. Twice, you know.
Yeah,
a little phrase. And,
yeah.
Apparently, he's employed like a UK company that tells politicians what to say if they want to win. And it does this by mining big data with artificial intelligence algorithms. And they're able to say to somebody like Trump, you know, when you're in Seattle, say this, but when you're in Detroit, say this.
Yeah.
You know, so manipulation all the way.
Yeah.
But, you know, and YouTube is problematic, Google is problematic, Facebook is deeply problematic and getting more so, Twitter is problematic. Because they can now kind of feed people with what they want to know. And they are, after all, like huge corporations. Huge. And they've got their own kind of power agenda. But nevertheless, I was able to watch, thanks to YouTube. And it must have cost, whoever uploaded it, it didn't cost them anything to upload it. Strangely, it only had a few hundred views, but again, it was only a few hours after the fact, you know.
Yeah.
But there, I can actually go and check. Well, why are they saying this about Corbyn? And to find that, well, actually, you know, here is an able politician. And actually, when you think about the building of the grassroots movement and and the rest of it, this is a very, very able politician. Very able politician.
Yeah.
You know.
Just because he doesn't make a big fanfare about himself. You know.
Well, he's somebody who is alert to that kind of corruption of language and the absolute collapse of public discourse into a low-level rhetoric, devoid and separate from arguments and facts and cogent appraisals of things we need to do to secure the future, and, you know, to secure a future in which people can live well. And that's pretty disgusting. It is the time of surprises. So I'm kind of hoping that Mrs. May's gamble don't pay off.
Oh, me too. Please vote Labour, everybody. Please, please, let's not have the Conservatives anymore. Please.
So he's been. The BBC is on it this morning because of an ambiguity around Labour's position on Trident, on this fetishised weapon, a weapon that actually can't be used. You know, that many major military people say actually these weapons are useless. It's just a phallic symbol. You know, for a fading nation. You know, that has lost its empire, and it wants to just make sure it can still get a fucking hard on. You know, that's how they got these kind of cock-shaped rockets. You know, which cost billions and billions and billions. The so-called independent nuclear deterrent, which isn't independent. They buy the fucking shit off the Americans. You know. anyway. So that, I mean, yeah, that's my main kind of thought that emerges from the situation. I don't suppose I've covered all the bases, because as I say, I'm not such a systematic follower, but I do. What leaps out at me is this kind of manipulation of the population through these quasi-hypnotic methods, and they say, and the shit is, they seem to work, which is very disappointing.
It is disappointing.
But people are looking elsewhere for their information.
Yeah.
I think the day of the mainstream media is we. Well, it's the beginning of the end for them now, I would say.
Yeah.
In terms of their influence. But they're going to fight back. I mean, the corporations. Completely amoral. These huge transnational corporations. And they will not lie down without a fight.
Well, I hope that was useful, kind of filling out the political picture just a little bit more. And we will speak to you soon.